This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
A very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. And our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We'll be with you until 2 o'clock. We'll have several guests for you today. Talk a lot of sports with you. We'll talk a little baseball with Gary Gillette. Later on, we'll talk with Lewis Stout, who's the AAU president, national president. And we're also going to talk, hopefully shortly, with Coach Tom Izzo. So we're going to talk a lot of different sports today. We'll talk a little bit of NBA with Tom, and we'll talk about the AAU. It's instituted a lot of new rulings, and we'll talk about those, and then we'll talk about the Tigers when we get Gary Gillette on. So we've got a lot of ground to cover today, so stick with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we're on from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR East Lansing. And we come your way each and every day, so spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every day right here on AM 870 WKAR. And call us up if you have any questions or if you have anything you want. You can always call us up when we have a guest on to talk with our guest. Or if you just want to ask a question, you can do that. Just give me a call right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we're waiting for Tom Izzo, and then we'll talk a little bit with Tom about the NBA playoffs, about the NBA championship round. I mean, a lot of people thought that San Antonio would get in or that Boston would get in, and both of them are not here now. But we have the young guns, the young lions there. We have Oklahoma City and, of course, Miami. So we got the two young, strong teams. Neither team has won one before, so we'll still keep up there and try to get with one of them. And, you know, hopefully, you know, that's the thing. With neither team having been there before, they've been, at least Miami's been to the championship series, even though they haven't won it before. But they've been there. It's always gives a new perspective when you have two new teams fighting for the title. So that'll be interesting to see how they both end up fighting for the title. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. You know, they're billing it, of course, as James going against Durant, the leading scorer in the league, to one of the other players who's one of the best players in the league. Durant and also with James, you have two of the NBA's, probably the NBA's two best players in the league right now. So it's great to have them working against each other. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out and how this series goes. I mean, they're good friends on and off the court, so they're not like in the Magic and Bird era, or where they just didn't dislike the kid. People disliked each other. Today, all the kids become such good friends during the AAU while they're playing AAU ball. So we don't have that intensity, you know, of between two teams or two systems. So it'll be interesting to see how these games go between the teams. Most of the guys are pretty friendly with each other, but as they say, they are enemies when the ball is tipped up. They're definitely enemies on the court. Hey, so give us a call, talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And of course, former Spartan Derek Mason will be retiring from the Baltimore Ravens. He was one of the best receivers that the Ravens had in their history. So we'll do that, and we'll talk about him. And he's had a great 15-year career, that's for sure. And we can do that, and hopefully Derek will be going in. I don't know about being in the NFL Hall of Fame. I don't know if he was that good. He had a good long career, caught a lot of passes. I think he's in the top 15 or so, but he had 471 catches, 5,777 yards receiving. He also ranked second with 29 touchdown catches. So that he'll probably go into the Baltimore Ravens in their own personal Hall of Fame. but I don't think he'll be good enough to make it into the NFL Hall of Fame. The Lions are getting to work, and, of course, they're having their mini camp is going on now, and they're just trying to fine-tune everything. They're trying to get everybody in and try to get them working, and we'll see how that goes once they get into mini camp, and they say they fine-tune everything, get the receivers together, the quarterbacks, and get them all on the same page. It'll be interesting to see how the Lions do, that's for sure. Hey, and you can give us a call, talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, toll-free, 877-9527-870. Call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we're still trying to get hold of Coach Izzo, and we'll see if, you know, and we'll see if we can still get him, catch up before he gets out of town. He's getting ready to go on a tour with some talk to some alumni groups. So we're trying to get him before he gets out of town and goes talk to some of Michigan State's alumni. But you can just give us a call, talk sports with us. Of course, you may not have seen Floyd Mayweather is petitioning the courts to see if he can get out of jail after that he doesn't have to finish all 87 days. His lawyers are saying that he needs to get out because his health is getting not the best, and so they're saying he must get out now to get better medical care and take better care of himself. You know, the lawyers also intimated, though, he might not even be able to finish his boxing career if he doesn't get out now. So we'll see. I mean, they're going to petition the court today to see if Mayweather can get out. And so we'll have to wait and see if that happens, that's for sure. And that's just one of the things right here on AM 870 WKAR. Spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR East Lansing. 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. And one of my buddies, John Neal, wrote a column today talking about just playoff stuff is just more BCS spin. We've had that just the spin going on for a long time. So we'll talk a little bit about the BCS, and if we ever do get a playoff system, maybe we will one day. Let's hope so that we do get one day. I don't know if we will. It's one thing we do know. It's talked about more than anything else. And that's the thing. When it's talked about so much that hopefully it will come to pass that one day we'll get a playoff, whether it's a four-game playoff or an eight-team playoff, something like that. It could be four teams, eight teams. 12 teams one day. I think if we just start, if they try to hold it, keep it at the plus one or just four, it's going to expand eventually. So we just have to wait and see how it happens. That's for sure. And that's one thing that could happen. Well, I got to tell you, coming up at 1:20, we're going to talk with Lewis Stout, or if it's not Lewis Stout, it'll be someone from his office, a very high official in the AAU. So we hope to talk with Lewis Stout, who's the current president of the AAU, and we hope to talk to him about the programs they're implementing to help prevent child abuse. That's one of the big things that he says the AAU is trying to do among everything, all their volunteers, coaches, and everything. They've instituted a lot of new ideas submitted to hopefully that'll help prevent child abuse. Hey, you can give us a call, talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. If you've never been talked to us or been with us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, talk sports right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Well, you know, they'll be coming to MIS this week. We'll have the race coming up, and we'll talk later on in the week with our good friend Terry Fitzwater about the MIS races, and you know, and this is where Dale Earnhardt Jr. a little bit more than 4 years ago, like the last time he won. So let's see if he doesn't. If he can get him called, I don't know if they will get him. So That's it. We'll just have to wait and see how that will work out as far as the races and the race cars. Getting the MIS is one of the more popular races. They usually get 300,000 to 400,000 people in that event. So we'll see how it goes this year. It's definitely a little different. That's for sure. Now, did anyone know? Did any of you know that? Jose Valverde has been accused of throwing a spitball. That's for sure. So we'll have to see that a little bit. If that happens, we'll talk with Gary Gillette about that later on. Right now, let's go to the phones and talk with Don. Hey, Don, how you doing?
Real good, Earl. How you doing?
Okay.
Accusations of somebody throwing a spitter rather than doing steroids. How deliciously old school.
Yep. They say they caught him spitting into his glove, so I don't know if that constitutes throwing a spitball, but, he did spit into his glove, it looks like.
Oh, my. Earl, just wanted to call and give props to my fellow DeWittiot, Jordan Weaver.
Oh, yes.
What an amazing athlete she is at only the age of 16, although obviously world-class gymnasts tend to run young.
Yeah, young they do.
Well, given what it takes, I can imagine why. I mean, first of all, you have to start training so intensely at such an early age. You can understand how you'd get mental burnout once early on.
Yes.
And then also just the toll it's got to take on your body.
Yes.
With the things they do and everything. And I imagine along with the weightlifting team and wrestlers and the like, they make great use of chiropractors and osteopaths as far as at Olympic competitions.
Oh, yes. I'm quite sure they do. That's for sure.
But anyway, just the thought. Amazing enough when Paul Jorgensen, who will be a third-year sophomore at Northwestern this year, amazing enough to me that a DeWittiot earned a Big Ten football scholarship, but to have one going in the so-called favorite for the gold medal, although Lord knows anything can happen, it's just an amazing thing. And as far as athletic ability, you'd almost have to argue that gymnasts are unmatched with the things they can do, wouldn't you think? I mean, it obviously wouldn't translate to football or this or that particular sport, but just all the individual skills they're able to pull off.
Yes, I mean, it's a lot of work, and you're right. They have to be in top condition. They train all the time. Like you say, it's one of those things you're constantly training. It's a wonder, like with Jordan, it's a wonder that she hasn't been struck down by more injuries. I know she's had some injuries from time to time, but, boy, you have to wonder how that does, happens. You can avoid from getting just so many injuries.
Well, and what makes the story even better is, and I don't know the Weavers personally, but just everything I've heard about the community is what a great kid she is, unassuming. And but then from all talk, I've heard she comes from an amazing family that has given her all the support she needs. And here's hoping it ends in the ultimate and joins area people like Irvin and Kevin Jackson and who else in this area has a gold medal from the Olympics, Earl?
Yeah, not many. It's one of those things. I think someone else does, but there's not many people that we can say has gold medals. Some have silver medals and like that, but yeah, very few have gold.
Oh man, it's such a distinction, and imagine being able to say that for that moment, for that time, you were the very best at what you do.
Yep. Hey, thanks a lot, Don.
Great show, Earl. Thanks.
Bye-bye. And that's our good friend, Don. The time is 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Michelle Obama knows it's tough to get kids to eat their vegetables from her days as a working mom in Chicago with two young daughters and a husband often on the road.
We found ourselves eating out more than we should. The habits that you just fall into just trying to get through the day.
I'm Neil Conan, getting kids to eat right. First Lady Michelle Obama joins us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Our weather forecast. Today will be sunny with a high in the mid-70s. Overnight, our low 46 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Sunny with a high of 72 on Wednesday. Mostly sunny for Thursday. The high will be in the upper 70s. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527. Toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And now we're going to go to and talk with Ron at the AAU and talk with him and some of the programs that the AAU is implementing. Ron, how you doing?
I'm good. Nice talking with you, Earl. Enjoy your program. Thanks for the great work you do.
Thank you. Yeah, I was reading, of course, the AAU is going to implement some new programs, some dealing with sexual predators and that, and, you know, with volunteers and with everybody involved. So I guess take us through what some of the things that the AAU is going to be doing.
I'm happy to do it, and thanks for the opportunity to speak with your great listening audience. The AAU, the National Amateur Athletic Union, is the longest-serving national sports organization that promotes healthy sports activities for boys and girls throughout the country. 124 years old, and more than 600,000 American youth participate in their programs every year, and 50,000 adult coaches and volunteers. It's very clear, though, Earl, that we're in an era in which we have all learned painfully that children are at high risk from sexual predators. In almost any venue, whether it's just out in our communities at large or even in sporting programs. The scandals at Penn State and Syracuse are still being debated about what should be done out of those tragedies. Jerry Sandusky's trial is underway as we speak now. Late last year, the National Amateur Athletic Union suffered the greatest crisis in its history when its longtime former president was accused of sexually molesting two men back in the 80s when they were boys in a basketball program in Tennessee. I want to mention that Bobby Dodd is that former president. He has never been charged with any crime. The complaining adults who said that he did this back in the 80s never filed a police report, even though their allegations were broadcast nationally on ESPN. But AAU, to protect its responsibility of safeguarding children, asked Mr. Dodd to leave the organization, even though he had been with it more than 20 years. The new president, Mr. Lewis Stout, began a six-month process of appointing a task force to study ways to improve the organization with the overarching priority on protecting children. And those task forces reported their recommendations today, which included mandatory background checks, criminal and other background checks and screenings on every one of the 50,000 adults who are part of the AAU. I'll take a breath now, but I'll tell you that's the leading edge of what the AAU announced today.
Yes, because I was going to ask you about coaches and how coaches. The release they sent me is all the volunteers and the staff. I didn't know how much that includes all the coaches who are coaching kids at the AAU. I assume they're included as well, aren't they?
That's correct. It doesn't matter if somebody's been a coach or a volunteer with the AAU for 20 years, or it's national president Lewis Stout, or somebody who's a brand new volunteer. From this point forward, beginning this summer, everyone who wants to be involved with the AAU is going to have to complete a mandatory background check, or they won't be part of the organization. And in those checks, if it turns up any kind of sketchy background or a pattern of questionable conduct, the AAU is reserving the authority to ban such individuals from any involvement with the organization.
Now, could this be some trouble for the AAU? Because one thing I read said they will be dismissed from working in the organization, even if any charges are filed against them. Would that? I would think that would lead to some lawsuits and such.
I don't see lawsuits. I think President Stout, the national president of AAU, is determined that if the organization makes any mistakes, it's going to make mistakes to err on the side of protecting kids from individuals who should not have access through the AAU to them. It's not going to require a conviction on someone's record for them to be prohibited from involvement in the AAU. If the AAU, through these background checks, learns that somebody has a pattern of bad behavior, whether it's a DUI arrest or some allegations of abuse, they basically have the authority now to stop such people from being involved. And I would think for parents listening to your program, this is what we want for our kids. We want a safety zone. So AAU is creating a culture of safety that errs on the side of protecting children, but also protecting adults by making sure they're implementing new rules that govern how adults interact with young athletes.
Yes, because one thing I was reading, it says that most of the adults and coaches and such, they will not be allowed basically to spend time alone with kids. They want them to be around other adults and I think that would be very good if you can somehow make sure that if the adults can just be around the kids when there are other adults around or parents around or something like that.
That's correct. Or one of the rules that the AAU is adopting is that no adult should be alone with any child on a trip out of town or even at a sporting event unless it's their own child, to protect both the adult from a false accusation and the child from feeling vulnerable to the inappropriate advances of even one bad adult. The good rule that we're putting in place at AAU is that adults should not have any one-on-one isolated contact with the young athlete. It's a good rule.
And what about reading some of the things, just changing the overall, how do you think this is going to change the overall culture of AAU?
Well, I think, again, AAU has this proud history and track record, 124 years of doing more to involve more American youth. And they're not just committed to building good athletes. They're committed to building great citizens. This is a part of that heritage of AAU. And frankly, President Stout has said they're taking these steps not because AAU suspects anyone of wrongdoing, but because AAU expects everyone to play a role in creating this new culture of safety.
And that's good, yes, because we're, like you said in the beginning, we're in a time in our society now, you almost are leery of anyone with your child. If you're an adult, you have to take a lot of care with some of the other people that are around your kids. So it's definitely very safety, very good that you're taking all these extra precautions because people and kids certainly need to be protected these days.
You know, there also is another key announcement AAU made today at this nationally focused news conference on Disney World property in Orlando, Florida. And that is that everyone who's a part of the AAU, staff, athletes, parents of athletes, coaches, volunteers, are going to be expected to be mandatory reporters. That means just like, our own federal government wants us to report anything suspicious regarding terrorism, when it comes to protecting children, anyone who suspects a child is being abused by an adult in an AAU program or of any inappropriate behavior by an adult to a young athlete or from athlete to athlete is now going to be required by the AAU to report that if it's a legal issue, a criminal issue, to law enforcement, to mandatory report, and also to report it to AAU. That's a big culture change, too.
Now, how will AAU, will they just have to sit down the parents and the guardians, and also the volunteers, or will they have to just come to some training sessions? How are they planning on implementing this?
Well, you hit it right on the head, Earl. AAU is committing to a system-wide orientation and re-education of its entire audience of adult coaches, volunteers, athletes, parents, staff. Everyone's going to learn about what their role is in this culture of safety. And we expect everyone is going to embrace this responsibility positively because it really is a very positive step. AAU is setting the gold standard, the highest, best standard in the land for any organization that involves young people in athletic competition.
Yes, and that's good. And it says here, AAU volunteers and staff should be considered mandatory reporters, should be expected to report suspected child abuse to appropriate law enforcement authorities and child abuse hotlines, as well as to AAU authorities. So, yes, you're putting in a lot of safeguards. Hopefully, they'll all take them and they'll work if they need to. We know that maybe there are not a ton of child predators in your organization, but you know there probably is a few as there are in any large organization. You always have to be careful of that.
Well, you know, when you have 600,000 boys and girls participating in sport activities through AAU and 50,000 adult coaches and volunteers, again, it's not because we think most people are up to any wrongdoing or any bad intent, but what you want to do is prevent even one bad person from the opportunity to do something that hurts a child. And, you know, to their credit, AAU, Earl, I think, is acting to protect children first instead of protecting its brand. But when you think about it, by making their top priority protecting young athletes, that's the best way AAU can protect its brand.
Now it is In all of the AAU sports, is basketball your biggest one, or is football or some of the other sports? What are your biggest sports that kids get involved in?
I think that if you look on AAUsports.org, the national AAU website, you'll see for boys and girls, it's everything from basketball, swimming, volleyball, tennis, table tennis, ping pong, lacrosse, all sorts of sports are part of the AAU sports world.
Okay, so it could be anybody, but it's just not basketball and some of the active sports that we know is very popular in America.
That's right. It's across the system. Any coach, any volunteer is going to have to get this background screening. And, you know, AAU has entered into an agreement with one of the most respected corporations involved in this kind of work, LexisNexis. And to LexisNexis's credit, it's only going to cost AAU $2 for each one of these background checks, and they're going to modestly raise their membership fees. So when all 50,000 coaches and volunteers have to re-up their membership in August, there's going to be a modest $2 bump in their fee from $14 to $16 to cover the cost of these background checks. The fact of the matter is it doesn't really cover the cost, but that's what AAU is being charged by LexisNexis, which is doing a great job of dedicating a certain amount of this work as a gift, if you will, to the AAU network of young athletes and adult volunteers.
Okay, we got a caller for you. We've got a caller on the line. Apacho is on the line. Apacho, how you doing?
Good. I want to thank you guys, first of all, coming on. And thank you for starting a new program. One thing I want to point out was that these two individuals from Syracuse and Penn State, I don't believe had criminal records on the one hand, so hopefully you can go beyond checking their criminal record. And the other thing was that when law enforcement was told of their behavior, law enforcement did not act upon it. Are you creating a mechanism that will make law enforcement become much more serious in the accusations? And the third thing, my son just started coaching AAU basketball recently on the side. He's a medical doctor, and he started a basketball team this year. There's a lot of personalities, and some of them can be pretty volatile and hostile. And my concern would be the safety of the volunteers, such as the coaches, the assistant coaches, and how kids might want to retaliate unjustly against coaching personnel. What mechanism is available for these situations? Thank you, sir. I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very much. You know, one of the reasons the AAU is endorsing a rule where no adult should be alone with any athlete is so that there isn't the potential for a child athlete to make up a story about an adult that can be very damaging to that adult. So we're trying to be fair all the way around, but the overarching emphasis is in protecting these children, which is why you also want no adult alone with a child unless it's their own child. The other thing to address the caller's question is AAU is also calling for a code of conduct regarding respect and dignity from every athlete and adult to every athlete and adult. And that includes no hazing, no abusive language or lecturing. When a coach is coaching a young athlete, there's a way to do it that's positive reinforcement, even when they've done something wrong, as opposed to verbally attacking the young athlete. So we're talking not just about sexual abuse, but a new, more positive, higher standard of behavior across the board for athletes, coaches, and volunteers in the new AAU.
Now, what about for people and kids who do get involved in AAU, and you know they've got to trying to learn as much as they can, getting involved with kids and other adults. How that effectively will they be able to monitor everybody? You know, because when you're running a program, as you know, there are a lot of people involved in it, some official and unofficial. So how does that work? You just blanket everybody who's involved or anywhere association with any kids? Is that how you're going to just check anyone that's involved at all?
Yeah, I think again, what we're trying to set the word out on is that everybody involved with AAU or who wants to be involved with AAU, whether it's a young athlete, parents of young athletes, coaches and volunteers, have a responsibility individually and collectively to make the culture of safety all about protecting children, protecting healthy interactions between adults and young athletes. That's what this is all about. It's going to involve a lot of re-education of everyone in the AAU family nationally. And of course, AAU is successful because there are AAU programs in every community in this country. And the feeder systems to AAU are Boys and Girls Clubs, YMCAs, city and county recreation programs. So everyone needs to be a part of this if they're a part of the AAU.
Okay. Hey, Ron, I want to thank you for being with me. It's a pleasure. And what's your position with the AAU?
I am the national spokesman for the AAU. My name is Ron Sachs with Ron Sachs Communications, based in Tallahassee, Florida. And Earl, I'd say one other thing. I'm sure you've got huge basketball fans in your listening audience. I want to say, in terms of tonight's beginning of the NBA Finals, go Heat!
Okay, so we got it. We're putting one Heat fan. We got a lot of fans from both sides up here.
Hey, I'm going to say LeBron and the Heat are going to take at least one of these first two games in Oklahoma City and completely flip that home court advantage.
Okay, sounds good.
You heard it here first.
Okie dokie, Ron. Hey, thanks a lot for your
thanks
input.
Thanks a lot, Earl.
Okay.
Take care, buddy.
Yep.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that's Ron Sachs from AAU and one of the members of AAU right here on WKAR. And so we'll continue our sports talk. And now we're going to talk some baseball with Gary Gillette. But first, stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Isabel Sawhill reignited the culture war debate over single moms when she declared Dan Quayle was right about Murphy Brown. Single parents can face any number of challenges, limited resources, not enough time, pressure from friends and family. So what's the response? I'm Neil Conan. What to do about single moms? Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good to have you with us today. I'm Scott Pohl with a look at the weather. Today, our high will be 75 degrees with sunny skies. Partly cloudy tonight, look for a low in the mid-40s. For Wednesday, sunny, tomorrow's high 72, mostly sunny and a high of 78 Thursday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, toll-free. 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Next, we hope to talk a little baseball with you, talk with our good friend Gary Gillette, and talk some baseball. So let's bring in Gary and talk a little bit of baseball today. And, of course, the Tigers start their series against the Chicago Cubs. And, Gary, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine, Earl. How are you?
Okay. Hey, it's it's always good. It's really probably a good time to bring the Cubs. I mean, they won that last game in Cincinnati. Now maybe they can get on a run. Here they're playing the worst team in the National League. League. So it does look like it's probably a pretty good time to face the Cubs, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Cubs are terrible. And the Tigers need, you know, the Tigers need the boost of blowing some team away. I'm not a big believer in momentum because it really is more a function of how good you are. But certainly given all the grumbling on the sports talk radio in Detroit and amongst the fans, from the standpoint of the fans' morale and the standpoint of selling whatever excess tickets they have left this summer, there shouldn't be too many because of the preseason and advance sales were so strong. You know, dispatching the Cubs convincingly would help.
Yeah. Now, what do you see? What do you think has been wrong? Why have the Tigers have been so inconsistent this year? They got off to that great start, and since 9-3, they've just been below average in the game since then. What do you see as what's been wrong with the Tigers this year?
Well, I think it's a bunch of factors. I don't really think they were as good a team coming in as most people seem to think. I mean, the hype about the 2012 Tigers reminded me a lot about the hype about the 2008 Tigers, and we know how well that ended up. Now, I'm not saying the 2012 team is going to finish last. I don't think it will. I think it's still going to win the division, although every day that goes by makes it less likely. I don't think this was a great team coming into the season. It was a team that had a really impressive lineup with serious holes. It was a team that was going to have terrible defense, and it was a team that's going to have good pitching, but not guaranteed to be great. And all those things have proven true. I mean, Valverde, people literally expected him to save every game. That's not possible. There are only a few people in history who have been that consistent, Mariano Rivera being one of them. Jose Valverde is not Mariano Rivera. People were relying on Doug Fister to be one of the best number two pitchers in the game. This is a guy who had basically less than half a season in Detroit and was not considered a world beater before that. He was better than his record looked, but certainly not the kind of guy that you want to rely on. And, of course, we haven't been able to rely on him. People expected Verlander to win another 20 to 25. And even when you pitch well, you don't always win. And that's something Tigers fans forget. People were counting on Scherzer. I mean, Scherzer is incredibly inconsistent. He looks brilliant one time, and he looks, well, there's a word that the scouts use, starts with S and ends with T, the other time. And so people just were saying, everyone's going to be great, and everyone's going to play as well as they did last year, or they're going to play as well as they did in the second half last year. And it just hasn't happened. You know, it would help a lot if Fister comes back as consistent. It would help a lot if Scherzer could put things together on a consistent basis. I'm not sure in the bullpen, you know, I think that they'll be okay because if Valverde doesn't straighten out and, you know, they can always go with Dotel. Of course, he's now injured. But it's not that hard to find a guy to close out games, even though people think it is. I don't know what they're going to do about their defense, Earl. Their defense,
yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next.
There's almost nothing you can do other than keep Delmon Young out of the outfield, which they could do if Andy Dierks were back. And, you know, find somebody who can play good defense at second base. You know, Dierks has surprised this year. I don't think he can play in the second half the way he's played so far. Even then, he still might be better than playing Young in left field because Young isn't hitting up a storm offensively. At the plate, he's not hitting terrifically well, and therefore his defense is even more of a liability.
Yes, because this has been a big problem. I mean, I know we talked about the defense at the beginning of the year when I had you on at the beginning of the year. You were talking about your concern for the defense, and it's certainly come true. The Tigers are not have not even been close to a good defensive team. Is there any way to turn it around, or you know, are they just going to have to live and die with what they got?
There's just not much you can do. I mean, having Jackson in center will help. Well, Barry certainly looked like he was a decent plus defensive center fielder. I haven't seen him that much. It would help, you know, if they had an alignment of Dierks, Jackson, and Barry rather than Bosch, but they can't really go with that kind of alignment. They really need Bosch's bat, and they're going to have to pretty much suck it up and play. And he's not, you know, he's not wretched. Bosch is not wretched defensively. He's just not very good. Cabrera surprised me. I thought Cabrera, 40 games, would be back at first base with Fielder at DH. He's played better than I expected by a mile, but he's still not good. He's still a below-average major league defensive third baseman. Peralta is never going to be a great shortstop. Again, he's not terrible, but he's below average. Second base is a black hole. And Fielder at first is terrible. You know, Fielder makes some plays that makes you think. He makes some plays that look good. It makes you think he's a decent first baseman. But you look at it carefully, his range is terrible. He can hardly ever go get a ball that's more than a step to either side. And there are a lot of balls that are a step to either side that just go by him. They're hard hit. His reflexes aren't good. Cabrera's a better first baseman. So, I mean, they could bench Young or trade Young or release Young, move Fielder to DH, move Cabrera to first, get a decent defensive third baseman in there, and that would help. But they're not going to do that, at least not this year.
One other thing we talked about at the beginning of the year was the running on the base pass. Is that still as porous? Can they do anything about that, or do they still ground into a bunch of double plays?
Well, I haven't checked lately, but the last time I looked, every time I looked this year, they were first, second, or third in terms of hitting the double plays, and they've been pretty much last in terms of turning double plays defensively. Now, those aren't all, of course, infield ground ball double plays, but most of them are. You know, they're just not going to be very good, and this kills them because, except when you have, you know, a strikeout pitcher, you need guys like Pfister. I really rely on having a defense that will take them out of a jam when they have runners on base. And this is not a good defensive infield to be aligned with this kind of pitching staff. Now, with Verlander, of course, Verlander can just overwhelm or strike out anyone, but that's not true of every other one of their pitching staff. You can't depend on on that kind of defense, unless you're at sort of at Justin Verlander's level. So, again, I just don't see. I mean, the die is pretty much cast absent some kind of move that I don't think they're going to make. Even if they benched or released Young, it's not going to make that much of a difference because since we last spoke, he hasn't been playing much in the field.
Yeah.
But if you did bench him so you didn't have to put him at DH, then at least you could move Fielder to DH, which would help. By the way, in defensive efficiency, which is a very simple but key stat, it's how many balls are hit into play do you turn to outs, the Tigers are last in the American League. They're not last in the majors now. They're actually two teams below them. Tigers are, let's check here where they are in terms of double plays. Tigers are last in the American League in double plays. That's just, you know, defensively, turning them defensively. This is just not the kind of thing that's going to win you a pennant unless you're hitting the cover off the ball, and the Tigers are not hitting the cover off the ball, as we know. I mean, the hitting, I think, is going to come around, provided they just, you know, don't do things like bring Brian Rayburn back and do things like bench, you know, don't play Don Kelly and that kind of stuff. I think that, you know, one of the Tigers' strengths, of course, is their willingness to stick by guys even when they're getting criticized, and that is a serious strength that causes them not to panic. It's an important strength, but at some point you have to give up on guys when they're just playing that badly.
Yes. Now, what about the pitching? Do the Tigers have any pitching that they can bring up, or have they just brought up their best pitchers, or is their minors bereft, or do they have good depth in the minors if they need to? Let's say they don't trade, if they don't make any trades or can't make any trades, do they have enough depth in their minors that they can bring a couple of people up that might help them?
I'm not a big fan of the Tigers farm system. By the way, the Tigers are currently just a tad below average in offense in the American League, a little bit below average. I expect that they will be maybe not at the top of the league with Texas or Boston, but they'll be up at, near the top third or fourth before the end of the season. That just may not be enough to overcome, you know, their pitching issues and defensive liabilities. You know, I think the Tigers have some decent pitching prospects, but then they do things like bring up guys like Thad Weber, who is not a prospect and not a major league pitcher. He's just a guy that's been in the minors so long, he's learned how to outsmart overeager AAA hitters. And, you know, they've got guys like Putkonen, who have some raw talent but don't have a clue how to pitch. It would help a lot if Villarreal could become this year's version of Albuquerque. You watch this guy, he's got electric stuff, but he clearly just doesn't know how to pitch and doesn't have good control. And it would help a lot if Dotel was healthy and pitches that way all year long. It would help a lot if Albuquerque comes back, although I'm not counting on it, because even if he comes back, he may not pitch like he did last year. The Tigers have some other, you know, some other pitchers in Double A and Triple A that might make a difference. But, you know, you see with guys that they've tried out so far, guys like Crosby, that there's a big difference between getting out Triple A hitters, especially if you've, or even Double A hitters, especially if you've got a little bit of experience on them, or you've got good stuff but not good command, and getting out major league hitters. You can punch out overeager minor league hitters with good stuff. In the major leagues, they'll just wait for you to throw a pitch over the plate. To get behind the count, throw a pitch over the plate, and then they'll kill you. Major league hitters are not overeager by and large, and they know how to deal with pitchers with good stuff and no command or control. And then the Tigers have other guys who are getting out minor leaguers based on their smarts, and you can survive in the major league by getting hitters out because you outsmart them or upset their timing or cross them up, mixing up your pitches, or have absolutely pinpoint control. You can get major league hitters out using all of those weapons. But generally, you know, you have to have experience in the majors. It's very hard to come from the minors with that kind of repertoire and then translate to immediate success in the majors, because major league hitters are better than minor league hitters. So I don't see a lot of immediate help. But I don't think they need it pitching-wise. What the pitchers need is somewhat better defense, and they need, you know, to have key pitchers like Pfister and Scherzer. People keep waiting for Porcello to come around.
Yes.
I just don't. Yeah, you know, I'm not waiting for him to come around. If he could lower his ERA so it was within sight of league average, that would be a big accomplishment. I think the Tigers made a serious mistake by bringing him to the majors so soon because he was such a prodigy. I just don't think he has the smarts or the experience to, at this point, to become a really good major league pitcher. But they wouldn't need him to be that if Scherzer could go from one bad outing and one good outing to two good outings and one bad outing, and Pfister could come back and just be a league average pitcher, they're probably okay so long as their bullpen stabilizes. And as I said, I'm not really worried about the bullpen, even with Valverde's problems.
Okay. Now, Gary, we went over the pitching and with the hitting as well. Is there much speed in the Tigers organization? I know they brought Bear up and they made a big deal about his having some speed, but is there much overall speed in the Tigers organization, or is that something they're still lacking?
By the way, Earl, the Tigers are third in the league in grounding and double plays.
Oh, okay.
They're not at the top. The Tigers do not have a lot of speed in their organization, and the guys who tend to have speed are guys like Barry. They tend to be guys like Barry who are really not prospects, not guys like Austin Jackson. Now, I didn't say that Austin Jackson doesn't have speed. He does have speed. What I'm saying is their organization is built around American League power-hitting kind of players. They don't have a lot of guys with speed, and the guys they do tend to be non-prospects or marginal prospects, the kind of Austin Jackson types. Guys with speed who are legitimate major league regulars are few and far between. That's true across the American League, but the Tigers are probably worse than the average American League club in that respect.
That is disappointing. You have no speed. You have questionable defense. The hitting is pretty good, but that's about the only thing that I think you could say in their average. The hitting is pretty good, but no speed, not great defense. It's basically a recipe for disaster, isn't it?
Yeah, except the division's not real strong. I mean, the Tigers were given a gift by the baseball gods when the Twins self-destructed a year ago. You know, I mean, no team can afford to lose the two MVP caliber players at the level of Morneau and Mauer. And, of course, the Twins haven't lost them to the extent that they aren't playing, but they've lost them to the extent that neither one is their former dominant kind of fearsome self. And the Twins also made, I think, some questionable trades and also traded some talent away, I think, trying to economize when they saw they weren't going to be able to win. So I think 2 years ago, it looked like with the Twins moving into Target Field and the Twins having locked up Morneau and Mauer especially, it looked like the Twins were going to be battling the Tigers and whoever else came out, maybe the Royals, maybe the Indians, maybe the White Sox, for the Central title for years to come. But the Twins have just imploded. The White Sox look much better this year than almost everyone expected, including me. I did not think much of them coming in, but that's a stronger team than I'd expected, and they may be able to sustain that in the second half and give the Tigers a run for their money. And the Indians are an unusual club. They have a lot of talent, but a lot of weaknesses. They have shown the willingness to spend some money. Last year they went for Ubaldo Jimenez at the trade deadline. That hasn't worked out so well. They took on an expensive contract for a guy who is not the same pitcher as he was a couple years ago, and it may be a big loss for them. And I'm not sure they're going to incur that kind of risk with the attendance that's at the bottom of the league. So I think that of the Central, now that people love the Royals farm system, but a great farm system does not translate into a contender automatically. And I'm not really optimistic on the Royals. I think the Tigers simply have to stay healthy and good enough to survive either Chicago or Cleveland. Probably both of them won't play as well in the second half. And then they have, so that would give them one team that will probably give them a run for their money. If they get in the postseason, anything can happen, especially if you have Verlander, Fister, and Scherzer, you know, pitching well. Anything can happen. But right now, you wouldn't want to be going to the postseason with this club. Inconsistent, injury-prone, slow, and the hitters are, as an aggregator, performing below par. Of course, you can't really blame Cabrera for that, and you can't blame Avila. While he's not been hitting nearly as well as last year, he's a catcher, and the physical toll is really serious on them, and he's hitting well enough. It's not Avila's fault, certainly not Austin Jackson's fault. He's been having a terrific year. Be interesting to see if his injury, you know, is going to hobble him in terms of dragging his stats down when he comes back. You know, you really have to look at Delmon Young, Brennan Bosch, the rotating cast of terrible players at second base, Peralta, and to some extent Fielder. Fielder has not, you know, he's not awful, but he's certainly not been the kind of game-breaking force they've been expecting, at least not consistently.
Okay. Hey, Gary, I want to thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and we'll have you back again soon, and we'll just keep dissecting these Tigers for as long as we can or until they get a firm grip on the pennant race or they fade out of this pennant race. But it's certainly been disappointing for all the fans across the state of Michigan.
Yeah, it has been, and I think partly because the team was overhyped.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll pull out of this and win the division, but, you know, it's a good question how far they'll go in the postseason at this rate. So, okay.
Hey,
take care, Earl.
Okay, take care. Talk to you later, Gary. Bye-bye. And that's Gary Gillette talking baseball with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, Aaron, tonight is the night. The NBA playoffs start tonight. Your Devils couldn't get it done in the Stanley Cup. They gave it a good run, but they ran out of gas in that 6-1 loss last night.
Yeah, and we had a caller to congratulate Matt Green from the LA Kings.
Yes.
You know, he's a local guy, so that was great to see. And
he's going to be bringing the Stanley Cup here.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
It's been confirmed. Oh, man,
yep.
We might have to make a trip.
To Grand Ledge.
All right, we're going to make a trip then. See the Stanley Cup. Yeah. No, he's an Oak, you know, Thunder tonight, so that should be a good one. Great series, and I expect the Thunder to...
You're going with the Thunder?
No, not for the series.
Oh,
I'm going to go Miami.
I think
this is LeBron's... this is his chance. He's going to pull it out.
Okay. Well, I'll take the Oklahoma since I'll just take the opposite of you. I'll go with the hometown. Since they got the hometown advantage, I'll take the team that's got the home court advantage. So we'll have a little odds on that. We'll see who comes out the best on that one. Hey, I want to thank everyone for listening and thank everyone for calling today. I want to thank you and invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. So come back and join us tomorrow right here on WKAR in East Lansing. Have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening, and I'll see you tomorrow right here on WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.